Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. It is episode 592. My name's Will Koontz. This is Anna Hummel.
What is up? Thanks for dealing with all the shenanigans today. I appreciate your flexibility.
No, I appreciate your flexibility because this is a special edition. Anna's in some sort of green cave where unknown things happen, and I'm here at Jeffrey Epstein's Island, not with Anna, because we had to reschedule because we got fun things that we have to do. Going to a comedy show on Wednesday nights, we're pre-recording on a Monday night, and it's crazy how 9 p.m. feels like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Remember we used to eat, well, you were there a little earlier, but I remember back in the day when Stay Woke first got on the air on the bone, and I would wait in my room until 11:30 so I could go to work for 1 hour and do 1 hour of radio, which seems totally, absolutely out of the question, insane now, because frankly, 9 o'clock is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have a new rule where I don't leave my house at night. Meaning, if I'm out and it becomes night, fine. Yeah. But don't ever ask me to like leave my house when it's dark. That seems ridiculous.
I mean, we're good at the time change. The clocks are falling back.
I know, which is going to be even worse. It's going to get dark at like 5:30.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. I know people complain about it. It's really, for me, it's not so much, and I know this is like the sentiment of a lot of people, where it's like, not so much one way or the other, but just pick one. It's the changing that throws people off. But I kind of like it when it gets dark at night, because I'm like in full hibernation mode. Mm. And it's going to be so cold this weekend. I cannot wait.
Yeah. So. I hate the getting dark early thing. I do not like it one bit. Mm. I mean, if you're working in an office and you're like walking to your car and it's pretty much dark, that's so depressing. You get that seasonal depression, a lot of people. And I like going outside and taking a walk, you know, after work. And I mean, you could still do that. You could take a night walk, but you're not getting the sun rays, the red light, the vitamin D from the sun that your body needs. I hate the stupid daylight savings time. I thought we were over this. I thought we were done with this.
Well, but we are. It ends on Saturday.
Well, I mean, for good, like no more
tinkering. You mean the cycling, the back, the forth, the up, the down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I get it.
You know, because even now, before the time change, it's pretty dark by like 7.
Yes.
No.
It always throws me off. I'm like, why is it so getting dark so early? And then I realize, like, we're getting close to the, what would you call it? The winter solstice.
Yeah.
It feels like it was just the peak of summer yesterday. But no, alas, it is, it's almost wintertime. So thank God. I don't care anymore. Let it be dark. I just want it to be cold. I want some, a change in the weather because I've just been, feel like I've had literal swamp butt for 7 months.
Yeah.
I had swamp butt this weekend. It was really gross. I was outside and I could feel a droplet of sweat that made it through my cheeks and was exiting on the back of my hamstring. And I go, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what it's like for me.
Ew. Yeah.
I know. I mean, there's so much just more meat there in the cheeks. It's just a lot. It's a lot. No, I do feel you. I'd love the, I don't really like cold weather, I will say, but I do like Florida cold.
Yeah, cool weather.
cool weather. Yeah.
Yeah. Florida winter. Nothing is better. Boy, Jesus, I cannot wait. And I'm camping. I'm going to go camping, which is very out of the ordinary for myself, but the boyfriend is doing a camping trip and I'm going to go for the last day / night.
How long is he going for?
He usually goes for like 4 or 5 days. This time he's only going for about 3 or 4 maybe. And I'll be going the last night. Which camping is not usually my bag. I feel like I should like camping. Like I like all the things that come along with camping, like the reflectiveness, being in nature, all that sort of stuff. But it's the bugs. I don't like the bugs.
Yeah.
I'm not great to camp with. So.
Well, the weather will be nice. 4 days, yeah. That's so long to camp. I mean, you just reek. I did Bonnaroo when I was in my, I don't know, mid to late 20s. And I just wore board shorts for 4 days. And I could just, you know, I didn't smell phenomenal. You know, it was not a fun place to be. It's so long to just be outside not bathing. I'm a shower a day, man. I like to at least get one shower in. Sometimes do two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, 4 days is just a lot. I know if you're near a body of water or something, you can jump in, but you're in dirty water. Like, even if you're in the springs, which is like fresh, clean water, it's still outside with like dirt and bugs and stuff in it. You know what I mean? Uh-oh, you're muted.
And other gross Bonnaroo people bathing.
What's that? I missed the beginning.
I said and just gross other Bonnaroo people bathing. Right?
Oh, well, I don't think they're bathing. They did. I remember they had some sort of area with like showers or something with like running water where you could kind of hose off. But I didn't do that because that just seemed grosser than just being in my own filth instead of bathing other people's.
What were there springs you said? I thought you said there were springs there.
No, I mean, not at Bonnaroo, but I mean, like, even I'm saying if you're camping.
Yeah, it's gross, but I think that's like the point of it. I don't know. I'm not going to be there for very long. I've had very few camping.
Uh-oh, you're muted again.
I'm not even touching anything, so I don't know how this is happening. Let's move that.
Yeah. Can you set the microphone down?
No, the stand broke.
Oh, crap.
Unfortunately, sorry.
All right.
We're really jerry-rigging a lot of stuff. I'm going to hold it like this and hopefully nothing happens. But one of my first camping memory that I have, unfortunately, is the first time I saw people have sex in real time.
Oh.
So that was jarring in a weird way. They were among my best friends in high school. And one of them was like outside. And I don't even know how I ended up camping with them. I was very good friends with both of them. And then the other one was like snuck out of the tent. And I'm just like, I know what they're going to do. And I like looked outside and I could just see like a little glimmer of the moonlight. And they were just like banging on a, what do you call it? Like a picnic bench, like a picnic table.
Where people have brunch and lunch.
Yeah. And it was just the three of us. I don't know. It was really jarring. And then they came back in the tent thinking I was asleep. And I was like, I saw that. They're like, oh, God.
Were you the third person? It was just you three?
Yeah, the three of us. I was really good friends with the guy, and I was really good friends with the girl. And to be honest, and they're still married to this day. They have two children. I don't want to take full credit, but I'm going to take partial credit for my friend, the male, asking my girlfriend to prom. And that was kind of, you know, they were high school sweethearts. So, so we were just all friends. And then I went up with them to like a Palomar Mountain, which is some mountains very close to where we live in San Diego. And I saw my friends, I saw like real live porn. It was kind of weird. I was probably, I don't know, 19 or something like that. So that was gross.
There's interesting, you know, factors here. Do you think it's possible that this guy was trying to get some, you know, hot menage a trois action, that it was supposed to be three, but you didn't bite, so it just turned into those two?
As much as I would like to think that, to flatter myself, I don't think so, unfortunately. And it's funny because I did have a crush on him. I did have a crush. I had a crush on every guy that like looked at me and like didn't go at you. Like any guy that was like nice to me and like thought I was funny, I had a crush on. Mm. And this man, his name is Jordan. And Jordan was the first person in my life who ever said that I was funny. And I'll never forget that. I was just talking smack, you know, in algebra. We were probably in 10th grade. And he's like giggling. He's laughing. And he turns around and he goes, "You're pretty funny." And I felt like I was trying on a new coat. Like I was like, funny. Maybe I'm funny. So, yeah, I always credit Jordan with that. For noticing that I had a good sense of humor. So
yeah, I guess camping is, despite the smell, a good time to get it on, you know, under the stars and the moon. I'll tell you the worst thing about camping. Are you planning on what's your bathroom plan? You know, it's particularly, I mean, obviously number one, you can, it's not that big of a deal for girls. It's a little harder, but what if you have to go two out there?
Then I have to go two.
You're prepared to do that. You're going to dig the hole and.
No, I think there might be porta potties. And if there's not, like, I don't know. I don't know what I think. Listen, my man is going to be prepared. That's the plan. The plan is bring a man who has a plan.
Yeah. Your fellow looks like he has like a bucket or something at the very least.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he really enjoys taking a deuce in nature. He's said that a few times to me. So he probably just has like toilet paper and then just like litters, but it's biodegradable, so
yeah,
whatever, I guess. I'm just hoping it doesn't happen. I'm hoping that I can get one out of my body Saturday morning before I leave and then return Sunday morning before I have to make pupes again.
Yeah, that's a good plan. I will say, when I did the Bonnaroo thing, I kind of was like, I'm just not gonna go for 4 days. I'm prepared to
hold it in.
Literally got there, got to the campsite, started setting up my tent, and was like, I gotta poop. I have to go right now. Yeah. Luckily, it was the first day before. Oh, that's just a calamity. I think I've told this story before, but it was clean. The porta potty was clean. It wasn't, you know, a terrible experience. The next morning when I walked in to take a pee-pee into the porta potty, it completely destroyed. Pee everywhere, poo everywhere, smeared, you know, it was an awful sight. And this is day one. And I remember coming back and like being like, these damn dude, I was blaming the guys. And, you know, peeing everywhere. There's a urinal right here connected to the porta potty. You just pee in that.
Yeah.
And my friend, the girl that was there said, no. That's us doing the hover action. And then, you know, not sitting on the seat and then just spraying everywhere.
So. Not great aim. I've played that game before.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but, I kind of want to say it on the after show, but I guess I'll just say it here, be clean about it. But I went to Okeechobee Music Festival. I believe this was 2017. And I did acid. And when I went to the bathroom, it was nighttime. And I was finally able to have a bowel movement, which was bothering me like most of that day. I apologize in advance, but once the poop finally came out of me, I tripped so hard. Like I was in there like, and I'm pretty sure I was like grunting a little bit, you know, like trying to really get it out. And then I just remember once it finally exited my body, like I was like I definitely started tripping even harder in the porta potty, and it was awesome.
Damn.
So,
yeah. Well, I hope. Are you going to take anything this weekend?
Oh, hell no.
No, you're done with that?
No, I'm not done forever, but like, it's not it's not the time nor the place. Because, you know, the man's not into that. So you don't want to be doing that alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Not ideal. Well, I mean, I will say that I did have, I went camping one time and there was no porta potties at all. So it was forced, you know, upon me to dig a hole. And I went out from the back of the campsite onto this little trail. It was pretty open, but I was like kind of looking around. I didn't see anybody. So I dug the hole, you know, squatted down, made. And then, you know, as I was finishing up the last wipe and pulling up my pants, a family of four came around the corner. I was just on the walking trail. I didn't know. But I mean, it was like, it was literally pulling, and as they were coming around, everything was, you know, flopping back into place, and nobody was none the wiser, thank God, but that could have been a very horrible, horrible scenario. Young children just see a man with his butt cheeks out in the open, out in the air. That's nature. So, I mean, I guess you're getting some of that, but yeah, it would have been horrifying, I'm sure. Yes. You know, it's funny we were talking about this because it's a great segue into this. I was reading this story. I found it interesting. Do you frequent Gulfport, or have you ever been to Gulfport?
I've been to Gulfport maybe once.
Okay. Not your vibe?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's very, it's even gayer than St. Pete, but I like it. We go there a lot. Good bar there. O'Maddy's is down there. Pia's Italian restaurant is there, which is really good. One of my favorites. And so we frequent down there a lot. It's known for, I mean, gay stuff and like pirates, like modern day pirates live there. They were moored out, anchored, you know, in Boca Ciega Bay, and they would kind of come ashore and do the thing. But essentially, there was homeless people living in boats. Well, they technically, I guess, weren't homeless. Their home was the boat, but they didn't have a permanent address. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the hurricane took a lot of them. I don't know what happened to them. I hope they just left their boat.
Right.
But probably some went down with the ship. Let's just put it that way. But now there's a new trend going on. We just have land pirates now in the city of Gulfport. Tampa Bay Times did a story about this. I have mixed feelings about this. They're calling it a ban on van life, quote unquote van life, in the city of Gulfport. But none of these people have a van. Like, van life is very specific. It's, you know, millennials in, you know, a $200,000 van driving around the country. Lots of people do it.
Yep.
These are more just like living in a, you know, 1986 Oldsmobile that may or may not run. It's not really van life. You know, it's homeless people living out of their cars. I don't really know how to feel about it, though. This one guy, I think it's this guy here, looks like an older gentleman. You can see him on the screen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he, I mean, he's got it rough. He's living in his 1996 Mercury Sable. And he is just kind of parked. Gulfport has a thing, you can leave your car there overnight. They have bars and stuff. So he's kind of just parked. There's a public bathroom there. There's like an outdoor shower. And he's not alone. He's one of many, apparently, that have just kind of accumulated right along the beach there and right near the downtown waterfront of the city of Gulfport. And you're not going to believe this, but some people don't like it and are a little upset by it and are calling the police and having discussions over this. But they had a city council meeting over it, and I kind of feel bad for these guys because, like, literally, what are they supposed to do? There was, you know, this guy says he gets like $1,200 a month in the story for disability because he broke his back. And he said he can't even find a room in Gulfport or, you know, probably really Pinellas County for under $1,000. I don't know if that's true or not, but that sounds like it could be plausible. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are getting pricey. That guy is 63 years old. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. Mark Mayhew, 63.
Yeah. What a life. I wouldn't classify this guy as like a typical homeless person, right? He's not on that. Like, I feel like there's a hierarchy of homeless. This might be at the top of that hierarchy, right? It's not like the gross drug addled addict on the corner of the street sleeping on a cardboard box. Like, at least you got a car, bro, but not good.
No, it's not. And I think you're right. They're like, I don't really want to be offensive, but like the best of the homeless, like they're trying. I feel like there are homeless people out there that really are just down on their luck, and like things are just bad, like in the country now, worse than ever for a lot of people. There's a lot of people with a lot of money, and then there's people with just none at all. That,
yeah, you know, it's always been that way. It's always been that way.
But also, it wasn't, you know, houses weren't $500,000 for a normal house.
Yeah, that is getting out of control for sure.
So, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I don't know the solution here for these people. Like, he's trying, he's like, you know, they have a rule that Florida passed that you can't sleep in public anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of essentially, critics have said that it makes homelessness illegal. And I kind of go, well, that might be good. If they're providing service, if they're just not like taking people to jail and throwing them in prison for, you know, not
being
making
homeless.
But, you know, generally that's not the case. It's usually people with severe mental illness or, you know, some sort of addiction or both. But, you know, these people kind of seem like they have a car. So it's like some money is coming in. This guy is getting disability. He gets $1,200 a month. I know that system can be abused, certainly. But
I think if the car is paid off, you're not really paying for gas. Like, who knows if the car is insured or not, but.
Well, that's the thing. I think with the sleeping in public law, this doesn't apply because they're in a car.
Right.
And they have their driver's license, and I think it has to run. The car has to be like move from time to time. And I think they have to be insured and everything too. But technically it's their personal property. And if they're in it, you know, you really can't tell somebody you can't be here. I mean, you could put up paid parking, but people are against that too, because people want to enjoy the city of Gulfport and not have to pay, or a parking garage or whatever. So there's really no solution here at all, which is why I guess I found the story so interesting, because I'm pretty outspoken against, I feel like compassion towards the homeless can go a little bit overboard sometimes, because a lot of times they're just mentally ill or drug addicted or both, and they need help. You know, we need to open up mental institutions, I think would be a good solution to that. But these guys seem like they're in a different category, because like you're holding down a household kind of in your car.
Yeah.
You know, they got food, they go to the grocery store, like they're still participating in society a little bit, just, you know, with what they can or what they claim they can do. I don't know. I mean, like $1,200 a month, I haven't looked in a long time. You really can't get a room, rent a room in somebody's house for $1,200 a month for a grand. That's, I don't know. It's hard to believe.
Well, I mean, think about that. Maybe they don't want to spend all of that money on a room when you have to spend money on food and God knows what else you need. But talk about a great idea for a podcast. Just interviewing. And then because they're not like gross homeless people on the side of the street, no offense. They're probably more of the type, like you said, they're like down on their luck that can't afford anything and probably have some really interesting stories. Mm-hmm. I don't think these are the ones necessarily that are like addicted to crack cocaine, because in that case, they wouldn't even be able to hold down a car.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Maybe we should start going out there doing podcasts.
It would be interesting. I'm sure you're right. That would be a good series. I remember Danny Jones did that series on the fishermen at Madeira Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Be something similar to kind of that. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any? I'm sure you don't have solutions. I don't think anybody does. But
final, no. No, I think like what you said, you need to start opening up the mental asylums. They did get a bad rap. When did they close them down? Like in the 70s and 80s or something like that?
It's the 80s and 90s. I think Geraldo Rivera is personally responsible he did like an expose on ABC News 2020 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater on that one. I think there's a way to do it right. Like maybe don't do lobotomies anymore, like a Rosemary Kennedy sort of a thing. Don't abuse them, but also people need a place to go if, you know, they're not really necessarily meant for prison. I feel like that's somewhat unfair if they're just homeless. And I mean, I understand that there are crimes just involved in loitering or, you know, being on a street you're not supposed to be on. But also these people kind of just need help, clearly, and there's no services to kind of move them in the right direction. And in the right direction might just be getting them out of sight of the rest of society so we can function better, if that makes sense. Not very nice. But some of these people cannot be rehabilitated, unfortunately. Not everyone can be rehabilitated. So where do these people go? They just live on the streets? Well, it seems kinder to put them in a place where they would at least have like a bed and a warm meal to eat every day. So
agreed. Yeah. I think that most probably are. Many, I think, just need medication.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure there's like varying degrees. And then I also feel like even if you're like mentally like sane in the sense that like you don't have anything clinically wrong with you, if you start doing crack for like 30 years, you're not going to come out of it any which way normal. So at that point, you might as well be mentally ill just from being like your brain is completely fried. So I feel like I really, truly, truly lack compassion for the homeless. I really don't feel bad for them. In a sense that other than like you go, oh, that sucks. But it's not like the way I feel when I see a kid that has like leukemia or something like that.
Yeah.
Like I do feel like there were a lot of poor choices. And a lot of them, I've said this before, but I do have more of a respect for people that are addicted to drugs. And I understand that a lot of them, if not all of them, are just trying to cope with some sort of trauma that happened to them in their life, and that's why they turn to drugs to kind of ease that pain. And I really overlooked that. I kind of just was like, oh, they're just gross like addicts that decided to make a bad decision one day and this is the result of that. But you know, a lot of them are dealing with some like horrific stuff that happened in their childhood, and they don't know how to deal with it other than take, you know, heroin. But also, humans have agency. You did the wrong thing. There have been plenty of people who've been, you know, raped as children that didn't end up on the streets. As it's not nice to say, but it is true. You know, there have been people who've been in the same situations, and some of them end up on the street and others become productive members of society. So at some point you got to go, you know, maybe it's you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I think that it's better than it feels like the compassionate kind of opinion that many of our friends have is just let them be, just let them live their life, just let them rot out on the streets. But it's like, that's a human being. You know, there should be some sort of community to kind of step up for them. And I would have no problem. Like, I hate taxes. I think that's a big scam and they spend my money on really dumb stuff. I'm totally cool with paying taxes for stuff like that. I don't really want to pay for Ukraine or Israel or LGBTQ awareness in Lithuania and Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm totally okay with helping out somebody who needs help.
Who's an American citizen.
It's an American citizen. Like, we have a lot of problems here. Things are not good. I wish we would just concentrate on this area for a while. And then when it gets better, maybe we could branch out to try to help everybody else and do LGBTQ awareness in Lebanon. But make sure we're good here first and branch our way out. Otherwise, you're just going to get.
Yeah. I wish we would have taken all that money that we spent on housing migrants and kind of put that towards some sort of facility for the homeless. I don't really believe in giving money to the homeless directly. I don't think that does anything. They're just going to spend it on drugs. But if you open up asylums for them, then I think that money would be money well spent. So
yeah, I would rather it go to Mark Mayhew, 63 of Gulfport, who's living in his 1996 Mercury Sable. I'd rather help him find housing.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's bad. Like, it sounds cold and callous, but it's really, you're still helping people. You know what I mean? Like, they're just not from another country or whatever. And I know
it's... I don't think that's cold and callous at all. I think you need to... You know, the analogy they use all the time is you got to put on your own oxygen mask before you can help anybody else. So
exactly. That is a good one. And that's pretty much how I feel with this sort of stuff. Like, there's a lot of people who are in Mark Mayhew's shoes who are living in a 1996 Mercury Sable who... You know, it seems like, sounds like he's on some sort of disability, broke his back, he can't work. So he claims, no, that systems can be abused too, but I don't know. I don't know what Mark Mayhew's situation is, but it's just a shame that we have people, you know, living in their cars in Gulfport, you know, that seem like decent people that are still trying. And, you know, there's just some people who are, you know, want them out. And I also sympathize with those people who don't, you know, are paying to live there. The Gulfport's getting gentrified. That's true. Money's coming in there. After the hurricane, you know, they're tearing down the little one-story houses and they're building little McMansions down in Gulfport because it's a nice little area. And that's a shame. But, you know, those new people are mad. But yeah. There's just no solution here. But there is a solution. Like we said, just helping, using our tax dollars to help Mark instead of, you know, Ukraine and Israel and all these other places. But anyway, we got to go. Thank you, Radio St. Pete. We do extra time on Substack, hmbradio.substack.com, home_made_man. You can follow me on Instagram over there. And I want to say, I don't know if he's watching or not, but I met a guy named Chad over the weekend that I was getting breakfast. And he said, I know you. And I went, is that good or bad? And he goes, I used to listen to you at night. And I was like, my man.
That's awesome.
That was cool. So I got to meet him. Nice guy. He was doing some door dashing. It was very hectic and chaotic a little bit. It seemed like he was waiting for a long time to get the hell out of there. But
What was the establishment? Can you say?
It was called Little Bird. It's up on 19th.
Okay.
Breakfast diner type of place. So he said he watches YouTube sometimes. So I don't know if he's watching today, but if he is, Chad, it was good to meet you. And Julie joined the Substack. So thank you, Julie. You know, you could do that too, hmbradio.substack.com. There is a free version there. You get the podcast early. If you join the 30-minute free portion, then we do the extra time that obviously paid subscribers get early there. Or you can, if you're a cheapskate, which I don't blame you, you can wait till Sunday at midnight at willsyoutube.com. And hopefully we'll see you Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live show, willsyoutube.com. So goodbye, Radio St. Pete and podcast listeners.
Hey.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.